All right, so we're going to be talking Visual Studio and Office today. We're with
Sean Labrie.
Right on, man. So what do you do?
I am the lead program manager on the Microsoft Office developer tools.
Excellent. Now, you sit in the Visual Studio team, and you guys have, you're doing some really interesting work. Let's learn about that.
Right, so today I want to talk to you about the new product that we've just put out this week, which is the Microsoft Office Developer Tools for Visual Studio 2012. So we released them on Monday on the web platform installer. If you could do a search for Office, it's really easy to go and find and get them.
Cool.
And what they are an extension to Visual Studio 2012, Pro and above, that allow you to do development for either Office or SharePoint.
And this new tooling is HTML5.
Correct. So okay. This new model is really based not on really deep integration within the Office product, but rather it's about surfacing web content within the Office products and having those interact with the documents.
Excellent. So conceivably, I could use a Bing Maps control that contacts web services to get data, and I could stick it into my Office document. It's probably a Word document where I'm talking about where the party is going to be.
Exactly.
Okay, and you can maybe even get more creative and then have it be calling into a service to figure out where the person who's supposed to be running the party actually is, where his car is, so you'll know when to actually get there to make sure you get there after he does.
Right.
But anyway, excellent, man. So you're web-enabling Office documents.
Correct.
Cool. I just wanted to make sure I understood it.
All right, so maybe it makes more sense if I actually went and started showing you how to go and build an app.
Please.
So what I have here is Visual Studio 2012. I'm running the update to CTP right now, but you could actually use any version of Visual Studio 2012 as long as it's Pro and above. Mm. And I've installed the Microsoft Office Developer Tools on into the product.
Okay.
So one of the things you'll see when you do this is actually we've changed what the new project dialog looks like slightly. We've reorganized it so that Office and SharePoint are now together as one node. And you'll see that we have all the support that you'd expect for Visual Studio Tools for Office with the add-ins and templates. We have the SharePoint solutions that you would expect. But the new category we have here is apps. And so you have apps for Office and you have apps for SharePoint. And so I'm going to dive in and create an app for Office. So let's just call it my first app.
Okay.
And then our wizard will ask you just a few questions. Where do you want this app to appear? Do you want it to be a task pane that appears to the right-hand side of the Office app? Do you want it to appear as part of the content? Or are you trying to create a mail app that would show up when you're using Outlook or Exchange?
Hmm.
So you're trying to do a party app. So let's just go with having it show up in Word.
Okay.
And we'll click Finish. And you'll see that what Visual Studio does is it creates two projects for me. The first project is what we call the app project. And inside of it, it only contains one real thing, and that is the app manifest for the application. And this is basically how your app gets surfaced either in the Office store or in a corporate environment in the corporate SharePoint site that hosts all your apps.
Cool.
And so you can see, like, I can give it my display name, so I'll call it my party app. I can set the version, I can set the provider name, it defaults to my name. I can give it an icon. And from a source location, this is where it actually starts to feel more like a web project. So this is the entry point that I get when the app first gets invoked. And so it's going to go to the home page, which is probably the right thing for me. I can see that if I wanted to make it available in an Excel or a project format, I could go and do those checkboxes here.
Cool.
So that is all that's really special about this project.
Hmm.
The rest is all in a web project. And this is a standard ASP.NET web project targeting, it's actually web forms targeting .NET Framework 4.5. You could just as easily use MVC or, you know, if you wanted to host it elsewhere on, you know, any third-party service,
mm-hmm.
you can go and do that. The thing that we do by default, though, is we try to give this a good Office look and feel. And so what we've done is we have this home page that provides a little bit of a starter point for how you'd want to interact with the document. So this one shows you how to go and get data from the document and then show it in a notification tab. We also have style sheets in here for making it give that real office look and feel.
Cool.
So it's really consistent. One of the things we've noticed when we were looking at the marketplace, the office store over the last couple of months, is that all the apps kind of look different. And we were wanting to make sure that the apps by default really look like they belong as part of Word or Excel or PowerPoint. So we tried to do work to make sure that developers have a really good starting point. But of course, it is web content, so they have all the flexibility they want to.
Great.
So what I'm going to do is I'm actually just going to go and hit F5. And we can actually go and start this app and go and see what the experience is like live. And what this did was it created an Office document and embedded the app in it. And then the app appears here on the screen, is basically being served up from a web server on my local box. And you can see that we get the title bar for it. And if I wanted to go and put some data in here, like directions to the party, I could go and select that. Then I click here, and I'll see that a notification pane pops up in the lower right-hand corner. And so we're trying to show developers like the best practices in UI for fitting in with Office.
Excellent. Now, excuse me, this is a clearly a developer build. I mean, the real usefulness is when I'm going to be able to host my HTML content as part of a service that's somewhere in the cloud. That'll then update my document with up-to-minute information that's relayed when I'm doing the document. So for example, if I was to write a one-pager where I'm coming up with some new idea, some new strategy or whatever, and then when I maybe highlight a word, my little web page over here could go out and get more information from me from some targeted service, right? I mean, that level of dynamism is totally supported.
Is actually, that's encouraged. That's
great.
One of the real benefits of being live and connected.
Beautiful. So when I deploy my app, in other words, I send my manager or whoever the document, they don't get a web server on their local machine as part of the document, obviously. They're going to be calling out into the internet, even if I just wanted to show it as a proof of concept. So there's really two questions there. Could I embed this dev web server into a document and send it to somebody to show them how this actually works locally? Would that make any sense at all? Or is the web server already going to be there? And B, that's really my question. I guess
yep.
It's kind of weird, but it's worth asking since you just showed us that's what you've done.
So the model here is actually more around publishing these apps for consumption either in a corporate environment or in an office store environment. And so really, when you publish the web service or the web server, you are going to be publishing that to some public site or to some internally available site. And then you will have the app manifest, that XML file that I had the designer over in the first part of the discussion. That will either get published up to the Office Store, and it'll go through a validation process and then be made available to consumers to go and acquire through the Office Store. Or if it's for a corporate environment, then one of your corporate administrators would make it available through the corporate catalog, and people within the enterprise could discover it there and then insert it into their document.
Okay.
So you actually you have to go and publish that web server somewhere so that the Office documents can find it.
Sure. So excellent. Now from the user's perspective, so as right now, we're running Visual Studio, you're a developer, you're sitting there, you're showing us how the stuff works in code to build the app. I'm a user, so I'm an enterprise person. I want to go to the Office Store, or maybe my local enterprise-y thing that's within my walls, and browse apps and install them. How does that work?
Well, you can actually just go to the insert, in Word, you can go to the insert menu and look for apps for Office. And here, because it's already been inserted into the document and made available, I'll see that. Mm-hmm. But I can actually go and see all, and it will actually go up to the Office Store, and I can see ones that are available to my organization. These are the internal ones in my organization, and then I click on Find More Apps in the Office Store to go and browse ones that are publicly available.
Awesome. And you add these to just add really nice functionality to your app that you're then going to spread amongst your folks. Very, very cool. So, I mean, essentially what we have here is, a simplified programming model. I mean, back in the, Office, this is where I want to get to now, because the last time I interviewed an Office person, We talked about Office add-ins, of course, VBA. I mean, you guys have a legion of VBA developers out there who I know you still love and nurture, mm-hmm. and that's still a very important part of building extensible Office documents. My question really is, you've added yet another group of people that can come in and add usefulness to this world by writing full-on HTML5 app. Can you do VBAE kind of things since you're using JavaScript in one of these? Like, let's say I want to download an Excel web app that will hook into my Excel spreadsheet on the left side, so the main part of the page, and allow me to highlight a couple rows, and then we'll do a calculation automatically, or it will change the color of them, or it'll do any number of things, or send that data up to the cloud. Does that kind of thing, is it enabled? Is it a security model issue?
So from a security model perspective, when you install the app, you actually have to go and say that you trust it. And as part of the manifest, you actually have to specify what capabilities that you require. Mm. So for example, in this one that we were just working on, I look in my app manifest, and I should probably stop debugging. But I can see here that I've asked for the ability to read and write the documents. So these apps do have the capability to interact with the document, but the level of integration that you would build between a web app and your Office document mm. is something that you would be much more cursory than what you would do with a VBA. Mm. VBA was very much embedded in the document and very much controlling of the document.
Sure.
And whereas this is much more loosely coupled, sort of surfacing of information and content.
Understood. I mean, another way of asking the question would be, I mean, on the one hand, VBA has access to a scriptable document object model. So the Office, the Word right. doc, the Excel doc, that model. Whereas the HTML stuff is going to be much more restricted, right? So I'm not going to be writing JavaScript in my app. That's going to go through and say, be able to do these calculations and go into the, you know, basically interoperate with COM.
Correct.
The way you can with VBA.
Right.
So anyway, I just wanted to, this is a specific scenario for this stuff.
Right. And I would like to clarify that you can have the web app interact with the Office document model. It's just through an Office JavaScript object model, which is at a much higher level than okay. what you would want for VBA.
Excellent, man. Very, very cool. So this has been around now for how long?
So these tools, actually the ones that I was just demoing, were released on Monday. You can find them on the web platform installer just by searching for Office.
Awesome.
Or you can go to our website, dev.office.com, where we have all of our getting started content.
Okay.
Though the preview versions of these tools have been around since the summer, I guess July of last year.
Excellent, man. And do you think there's a, do you see a swell of interest?
We're actually starting to see a lot of developer uptake of these tools.
Great.
And in fact, one of the things we're trying to make sure we do is get the word out to everyone so that they know that the final version of the tools are available. We've had a lot of people asking about them for months. When are the final versions going to be available? Mm. And with the announcement about Office Home Premium last month and the availability on the service in the last week, it's time for us to get those tools out for everyone.
Excellent. Now, of course, have to ask. I mean, it's sort of the, I already know the answer, but I'm going to ask anyway because, you know, Office 365, those are web pages, essentially,
yes.
right? So at least the ones, the OWA stuff, right? The stuff that you're doing in the cloud, in a web browser. You can also use these, I would assume, should be a no-brainer, to be able to use these apps inside of a web browser, inside of a web-hosted Office document. Is that true or false?
That is true. It's true right now for Excel, and over time you will see that these apps start lighting up in the Office 365 for the other applications like Word and PowerPoint. And so mm-hmm. it's just a matter of time before those light up with these.
Excellent, man.
And if you are looking at something that needs to run both on premises in the rich client or in Office 365, then the only way you can really go is by extending with this new app model.
Yep, and I mean, HTML5 is very portable, so they say.
Yes.
So right on.
It'll run on any device that can that has a web browser, essentially.
Awesome. And I can definitely see. So what about for running on Windows Phone 8?
So
We have a web browser, of course, but then you're going to have the constraints of a different size physical view.
So when you're looking at that web browser, part of what you could do is you could actually detect the size of the document, the size of the screen, and reflow your UI based on that.
Excellent. Very cool, man. So what else do you want people to see and to know?
Well, I also wanted to talk about some of the new things that we're doing in the app for SharePoint model, okay, which has also changed in a very similar way. So let me go and create a new project for SharePoint.
Okay.
And for this one, I figured, let's say we want to actually do some management around a contact list for my company. And so I'm just going to call it my contact list app. And you'll see that with SharePoint, we actually ask you a different set of questions, because now you have to work with a SharePoint server. So the second question that we ask here is, what SharePoint site do you want to use for debugging your app? Now, one of the biggest complaints we've gotten from SharePoint developers over the last, 5 years has been, why do I have to install SharePoint on my dev machine in order for me to go and do development?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the nice thing we've done is with Office 365, we now have this concept of developer sites, which allow you to actually go and do your development of apps against a live server that's not installed on your local machine, that's just hosted up in the cloud.
Awesome.
And so what I've done here is I've connected it up to my Office 365 site that I've gone and created through dev.office.com. If you want, you can go sign up through here. The other thing that we have is a set of hosting models. So with all of this code running in a browser, there's only so many things that you can do with HTML5 and JavaScript that you, and so there's sometimes this need for actually writing server code that does excellent processing of the data. Mm-hmm. And so what we want to do for support those is we have these cloud-hosted models called auto-hosted, where we go and create a web server for you on Azure to actually go and do custom processing, or a provider-hosted model where you provide your own hosting for some of this web content.
Okay.
So what I'm going to do for this app is keep it simple and try and stay within the confines of what can be hosted on SharePoint. Now, one of the things that's really revolutionary for a lot of SharePoint developers is that now no custom code runs on SharePoint as part of this new app model. It either runs in the browser, or you have to go off box, like I just mentioned, with that auto hosting and provider hosting model. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to create a SharePoint list that actually holds my contacts. So I'm going to go right click, and I'm going to add, I'm going to add the list, and I'll call it contact list. And one of the things you'll see is that we've created a nice wizard experience. Now, this was something that we introduced in Visual Studio 2012 for SharePoint Solutions, but it applies just equally well to apps. And so what I'm going to do is choose based on a default template, and I'm going to choose it based on the contacts template. And I'm going to go click Finish, and now I've gone and created created a list as part of my SharePoint app.
Nice.
Now, this seems really simple, and is if you're not very familiar with SharePoint development, you may wonder why this is such a big deal. But if you actually go and look at all, at all of the XML that's behind this, you actually see how complicated it used to be before we had a designer experience. And so we've really done a lot to improve the efficiency of creating lists so that you can just go and get your job done.
Awesome.
So now what I'm going to do is I'm going to add a workflow, which is another way of processing information and data that happens on the SharePoint site. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to go add a workflow. And it's going to process the added event for a contact. So what I want to do is I want to allow somebody in my corporation to approve or reject contacts.
Okay.
So what I'm going to do is put contact added. And it's a list workflow because I just went and created a list for it. And then I want to associate it with the list. And so it knows that the only list that I have in my project right now is the contact list, so I can work with that. And I can have a history list, which keeps track of what happened, like who approved and who rejected these things. And then I can have a task list that will track all the tasks that I have for approving and rejecting.
Cool.
So now I also want to make this workflow start automatically when the item is created. And now I click Finish, and I have a workflow. So now I need to go and author some quick workflow logic to actually handle that approval. And so what I'm first going to do is I'm going to use the single task. And what I'm using is the standard workflow 4.0 designer and with some SharePoint tasks that have been added to it. And so this single task used to be really complicated last summer for folks to go and work with. Mm. It has dozens and dozens of properties here on the right-hand side. And we said, hey, this is really hard for people to get simple things done. And so what we did was we actually created a small UI for working with this. And so what I'm going to do here is, so when the task gets created, it first needs to be assigned to somebody. Now, when I'm in a corporation, I'm probably going to use some business logic to figure out who it gets assigned to. But for the purpose of this demo, I'm just going to hard code it to myself. Oops. And then I'm going to ask myself to please review this contact. Then I can, you know, I can set a due date for myself. So I want to make sure that these get processed relatively quickly. So I'll say today plus one day is my due date for these things. And
okay.
That way I'll start getting email reminder nags, and I can even go and configure them here through this UI. Getting a daily reminder once seems like good enough for this. And for the tasks, I want it to wait for the task completion before it does anything else. So make sure that checkbox is done. All right, so now I've got this single task. Now I need to go and handle the outcome of that task. So what I'm going to do is add an if block. And basically, I get to write a little bit of C# code. Even though this is C# code that's essentially hosted on the SharePoint server, it actually gets translated into workflows when we go and upload it. So it's still no real custom code is executing on that SharePoint server.
Interesting.
And so what I'm going to do is use the outcome variable and check if it's equal to zero. And that's something that I've gone and looked at the documentation, and I know that zero means that it was approved. And if it's not zero, then it was rejected. And so if it's approved, then what I'm going to do is I'm going to go update the list item and add a quick note. And so what I'll say is I want to work on the current item, I want to work on the current list, and then I want to go and set some properties on it. Now, if I can tell it that it's a contact list that I'm working with, then all of a sudden it knows from SharePoint what fields are valid for that thing. So I can just go and choose, say, notes, and I want to just add the note approved. Click OK, and I've got that one configured. Now, if I want to reject this one, I probably want to remove it from that list, so I'm going to go and look for delete list item. Again, I'm going to choose to delete the current item off of the current list, the one that we're working on, and now I've got my business logic all hooked up. So now, I just have one more step to get this app working, and that is to let the set the start page of it to actually be the list.
Okay.
And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to go back to the list, and I'm going to find the URL for this. Figuring out the URL that something was going to be deployed to actually before was a hard problem, and so we put that in the designer as well so that people could find out what it would be. And now I'm going to go to the app manifest and change that start page away from a default page and set it to the contact list. And now I'm ready to go and debug. Whoops. I'm actually going to go and deploy this directly to the SharePoint servers, because I don't need to debug it. And what it's going to do is it's creating this app package that's basically a zip file or OPC format that contains all of the workflows, all of the lists, and all of the content, and it's sending it up to my Office 365 site. Office 365 is opening it up, and it's deploying all those artifacts to the right place. So, for example, the workflows aren't actually hosted on SharePoint itself. There's a service called Workflow Manager where those are hosted.
Okay.
If you're working Office 365, you don't have to worry about it because Office 365 has provisioned that for you. If you're doing on-prem SharePoint development, then you would actually want to go and set that up yourself.
Okay.
And so now we have the app. And so now it's just a simple matter of going and browsing to that site, and we can see the experience. And so here I am with a default SharePoint list experience. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to go and create a contact. And we'll just call him John Doe. And I'm going to click this to save it. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I accidentally did was I accidentally clicked it a few times. So now I already have a couple of contacts, one that I want to keep and maybe two that I want to go and reject. So let's go and see what that experience is like. So I can click here. And I can see the workflows that are associated with the items. And I can see the running workflows. And I can see that I've already got some item added workflows running. And I can see that they're assigned to me. And I might as well just go and visit my task list to see all the work that is assigned to me. And I can see that I have three things that I need to go and approve. So the first one, I'm going to go and open. I'm going to edit the item. And say that, first of all, I'm going to mark this task as 100% complete because I'm done. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to approve it. So now that task is now completed, and that contact is approved in my list. This one, what I'm going to do is I'm going to click open. I'm going to edit the item. Again, I'll mark it complete because I want to make sure that it knows that I've done this task. But this time, I'm going to go and reject it. And so now, when I actually go back to my contact list app, you can see that one of the ones went away because I rejected it. And this one at the top, when I go and open it, I guess it's the one at the bottom I actually approved, you'll see that it's gone and added that note to approve it.
Great.
And so that shows you a little bit about how you can create some process management inside of SharePoint using an app.
That's awesome. And writing essentially zero code. I mean, the C# you wrote could just very well have been JavaScript.
Right.
It's exactly the same syntax, except for the date, time, now, UTC stuff. But yeah, that could have just been tomorrow. So the quick question I ask for you is that workflow experience, the sort of the designer experience inside of Visual Studio, seems like it's geared towards non-developers. And what I mean by that is, it's kind of like, are you thinking about, as you think in the future, of building this more as actually something that's done in a web browser for office workers who aren't developers, and then they can then choose things like date time equals choose tomorrow, or get a date picker and double click on a date, and rather than saying if some variable equals zero, they could just say true or false.
Right. So I think that Visual Studio is actually more of a home for professional developers.
Yes.
But we actually have a product as part of Office 2013 suite called SharePoint Designer, which actually has a very similar workflow designer. In fact, some of the UI you've seen was actually very much copied from the SharePoint Designer in here. But it actually is much more focused on non-developers.
Understood. So, in the case of building the conditionals, I could actually, point that to a method that returns true or false, a function that returns true or false, does a bunch of stuff. Mm-hmm. Is the person from Mars? How long have they been on Earth? What color are their hair? Blah, blah, blah. Lots of different steps. Call into other things. So this was just a simplified example. But it's beautiful that you were able to create all this SharePoint stuff, writing two lines of code, maybe, and using very understandable workflow designer. So that's rock and roll, man. Good work, you guys.
We try to make it easy for folks.
Good. And I think developers also like things easy. So you can write the hardcore code if you need it. So what else you guys been up to? I mean, you have the Office apps or the Office app sort of plug-in model in HTML5. And you have a new way to create SharePoint apps without really having to deeply understand SharePoint. So I understood everything you do. I'm not a SharePoint developer. I've never been a SharePoint developer. But what you just did, to me, you create a SharePoint list and you create a SharePoint workflow. That's nice, man. So good job.
Well, Thank you.
Anything else you want to tell us?
I think actually those were the big things that we really wanted to show you today, was that when you're actually developing with this new app model, it really is more about using web programming skills and your, you know, business logic skills than actually having to be deep experts in SharePoint. And we're trying to make it easier for people to approach either Office or SharePoint development. So those were the key things that I wanted to cover today.
And I think you did, because I'm going to get out there and write a Office app.
Cool.
It looks easy enough.
So the best way to get started on that, I will do want to plug,
Okay. Is
the dev.office.com website. It's got your access to the tools, either the Visual Studio tools, or you also have Microsoft Napa, which is our Visual Studio tools in the browser.
Awesome. So, which we were just talking about. I didn't even know that existed. Rock and roll, man.
Right.
So thanks for coming on Channel 9.
Thank you.